Right here? Right here? Do we start here?
Yeah, what is that?
Well, welcome back to our study of Joshua. We are in chapter 8. And the last time we were together, we took a look at verse 33. And Moses was following the instructions that Moses had given Joshua, which Moses had received from the Lord. Half of the people were to stand on Mount Gerizim, and the other half were to stand at Mount Ebal, if you'll remember. And as we move right into chapter 34, we're going to see what happens there.
Verse
34. Did you want me to look at this?
Yeah, let's read both of these, Deuteronomy 11, 29 and 27.
Okay. To gain reference of what we had read about in Joshua 8, 33, let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 11. So y'all flip with me to Deuteronomy chapter 11, and let's look at verse 29 together. And it shall come to pass, when the Lord thy God hath brought thee in unto the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou shalt put the blessing upon Mount Gerizim, and the curse upon Mount Ebal. Now, flip over to Deuteronomy chapter 27, and this will be a good reminder for us too. Deuteronomy 27, and let's read verses 4 through 8. Therefore, it shall be when you be gone over Jordan that you shall set up these stones, which I command you this day. Now, this is Moses talking to Joshua. In Mount Ebal, and thou shalt plaster them with plaster, and there thou shalt build an altar unto the Lord thy God, an altar of stones. Thou shalt not lift up any iron tool upon them. Thou shalt build the altar of the Lord thy God of whole stones, and thou shalt offer burnt offerings thereon unto the Lord thy God. And thou shalt offer peace offerings, and shalt eat there, and rejoice before the Lord thy God. And thou shalt write upon the stones all the words of this law very plainly. Now, with that said, flip back over to Joshua, please, in chapter 8, and let's read verse 34. And afterward, he read all the words of the law, the blessings and curses, according to all that is written in the book of the law. There was not a word of all that Moses commanded, which Joshua read not before all the congregation of Israel, with the women and the little ones and the strangers that were constant among them. I think I read that wrong. That's okay, that were living among them.
Conversant. In other words, the ones that could talk and understand the language,
mm-hmm.
is what he said. You see that Joshua is doing everything that Moses has told him to do. And he, not only did he take these stones and set up an altar and plaster the stones to write upon these stones, but Joshua reads all the words of the law of Moses, both the blessings and the cursings. He read everything that was written in the law of Moses to this entire assembly, women, children, foreigners, all those who lived among them, everyone that was able to understand the language, then they have no excuse because he's read it to them. Okay?
Now, chapter 9. All right. And it came to pass, when all the kings which were on this side Jordan, in the hills and in the valleys and in all the coast of the great sea, over against Lebanon, the Hittite and the Amorite and the Canaanite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite heard thereof, that they gathered themselves together to fight with Joshua and with Israel with one accord.
So all these kings in this land of Cana, they've heard what Israel has done, and so they're obviously operating in fear. They've heard that Israel's defeated Jericho and Ai, and so they join forces together, in other words, to formulate a large army to come against Joshua and the Israelites. So, we'll see how that works. When Gibeon, the residents of Gibeon, you understand Gibeon is a city, but there's other cities that are in this with Gibeon, which he names. But when they heard what the Israelites had done, they contrived this devious plan that hopefully would save their lives, because they know they're supposed to be utterly wiped out. Okay? So they sent representatives to Joshua, and these guys had disguised themselves by wearing old worn-out clothes and taking provisions with them that was old when they left, trying to deceive Joshua into thinking they came from a long place. So when they arrived at the Israeli camp, which was at Gilgal, they told Joshua and the men of Israel that they'd come from a distant country. So Joshua and the men, they questioned these travelers, but obviously the men lied to them. And so Joshua and these guys looked at the appearance of the men, they looked at the provisions, but they didn't ask counsel of God. Mm. Consequently, they were deceived. Now, there's a tremendous message in this to us. Don't trust your eyes. Don't trust your reasoning. You get your answer from God. Before you make a decision, before you enter into an agreement with someone, know that God is in agreement with that. Because what they're doing is they're making an agreement with people that they were supposed to destroy. Okay? Because they didn't seek the counsel of God, they made a covenant with these Gibeonites. And so Joshua and the leaders of Israel swore to these representatives that they wouldn't destroy them. Now they're in a covenant. Even though they've been deceived, they're in a covenant. Am I way ahead of you?
Let me read it.
Go ahead.
Yeah. And when the inhabitants of Gibeon heard what Joshua had done unto Jericho and to Ai, they did work wily, and went and made as if they had been ambassadors, and took old sacks upon their asses and wine bottles, old and rent and bound up, and old shoes, and clouted upon their feet, and old garments upon them, and all the bread of their provisions was dry and moldy. So do you see all the detail and attention they took into willingly deceiving?
I'm going to say this. I don't know why in the world they translated that bottles, because that's not even the definition.
Oh, yeah.
It's wineskins.
Yeah.
Okay. And so when wineskins get old, that leather, the material they're made out of, will crack. And so that's what this is referring to. And so all this is a pretty well-planned scheme, that they've taken these old skins and moldy bread and all this stuff for the sole purpose of deceiving the people that they were wanting to meet with, Joshua and these leaders.
And they went to Joshua unto the camp at Gilgal, and said unto him and to the men of Israel, "We be come from a far country. Now therefore make ye a league with us." And when the men of Israel said unto the Hivites, "Peradventure you dwell among us, and how shall we make a league with you?"
So we know that they are Hivites.
Yeah.
And we know Hivites was one of the nations that God said to utterly destroy. Okay?
So they started out well, didn't they? They asked the right question. They had the thought there. Has God ever given you a thought? but it's the right thought, and you don't follow up on it. And they said unto Joshua, we are thy servants. And Joshua said unto them, who are ye, and from whence come ye? And they said unto him, from a very far country thy servants are come because of the name of the Lord thy God, for we have heard the fame of him and all that he did in Egypt, and all that he did to the two kings of the Amorites that were beyond Jordan, to Sihon, king of Heshbon, and to Og, king of Bashan, which was at Ashtaroth. Wherefore our elders and all the inhabitants of our country spoke to us, saying, take victuals with ye for the journey, and go meet them, and say unto them, we are your servants, wherefore now ye make a league with us. This our bread we took hot for our provision out of our houses on the day we came forth to go unto you, but now, behold, it is dry and it is moldy. And these bottles, or skins of wine, which we filled, were new, and behold, they be rent. And these old garments in our shoes become old by reason of the very long journey. And the men took of our victuals, and asked not counsel at the mouth of the Lord. And Joshua made peace with them, and made a league with them, to let them live, and the princes of the congregation swear unto them.
Now, you know, you look at that verse, and I mentioned earlier that it was not bottles, it was skins. And then one of the things that they say, these bottles of wine which we filled were new, and behold, they're rent or torn. You don't tear a bottle. But you can tear wineskins, okay? Mm-hmm. And so that just substantiates the fact that it's skins and not bottles. Now, you can see the deception involved in all this. And Joshua, you know, there's a flag up. Mm-hmm. But they're not pursuing this thing enough. What if you're of the people we're supposed to destroy, is the essence of it. And they never do identify where they came from. Mm-mm. We just came from a far country. They didn't stay with that. All right, which country? But they should have been asking the Lord before they made the decision. Okay? And so often we do the same thing. We let our eyes deceive us. Mm-hmm. We make our decisions based on circumstances. If it looks good, then that's supposed to be God. You know. But everything that looks good is not God. You know, Satan transforms himself into an angel of light. And so we have to get the counsel of God. Now, we have an advantage. We have the Spirit of God that lives on the inside of us. And the Spirit of God will check us on things if we'll pay attention to it. But if we don't pay attention to Him, and we just want to look at things naturally, we'll be deceived as well. And so they enter into a covenant. We're going to talk about this thing of covenant. A covenant is only to be broken by death. You don't break a covenant. You understand? And so, whether you're deceived into making it or not, you're still in covenant. And we're going to find out this very thing. Okay?
Go back just a second to making decisions based off our senses.
Okay.
And how our senses can deceive us. We can hear things incorrectly and misconstrue things. We can become so accustomed to smells in our own home that we can't even smell the trash when we walk in the house. You understand? Our eyes can deceive us. Everything that we see, just like what Joshua experienced here and these men experienced, may not be so. So That's why it's so very important to have the Holy Spirit on the inside of you, to allow Him to be your guide, and to always ask. Remember, we talked last session about the importance of never assuming that we know something? To fully rely on the Lord. We are to trust the Lord with our whole heart and rely on Him for all our understanding. Because we can miss things, y'all. And this is what happened. And as Pete said, it's a very serious thing to enter into a covenant with someone. It's a very interesting thing. You know, the other point that I see in this is our words are very important. The things we say, we can have. What did these men pronounce? What did they say to Joshua? They said, we're your servants. Well, let's find out and see what happens to them. In verse 16?
Okay.
I'm sorry?
Mm-hmm.
And it came to pass at the end of 3 days, after they had made a league with them, that they heard that they were their neighbors, and they dwelt among them.
Neighbors just simply means that they were living close by. Okay.
And the children of Israel journeyed and came unto their cities on the third day. Now their cities were Gibeon, Kaphira, Beeroth, and Kirjath-Jearim.
I mentioned earlier that there was more involved than just the city of Gibeon. And you can just read over this and not realize that there were others involved in this covenant. In other words, these politicians have gathered together. These leaders of these cities have gathered together, and they say, listen, we have no hope except to get them to enter into a covenant with us. And if we can't get them to do that, we're going to die. So there's a collaboration here between these cities that she just read. But Gibeon is the main city. It's a major city. That's why it's singled out. Okay.
And the children of Israel smote them not, because the princes of the congregation had sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel, and all the congregation murmured against the princes.
You understand, the army says, they've deceived us, let's kill them.
Yeah.
But these leaders knew the importance of not breaking the covenant. They said, no, we've made a covenant with them, and we can't kill them. Okay?
Yeah.
But they will be punished for what they did.
But all the princes said unto all the congregation, we have sworn unto them by the Lord God of Israel. Now, therefore, we may not touch them. This we will do to them. We will even let them live, lest wrath be upon us, because of the oath which we swore unto them. And the princes said unto them, let them live, but let them be hewers of wood and drawers of water unto all the congregation, as the princes had promised them.
Now, think about this. In that 20th verse, it says, lest the wrath of God is on us.
Mm-hmm.
That's why you can't break the covenant. They swore before God to these people. Now God's holding them to that. They've sworn in the name of God. Now, if you would, turn to 2 Samuel,
okay,
chapter 21. And read the first 7 verses of chapter,
okay,
21 of 2 Samuel.
Then there was a famine in the days of David, 3 years, year after year, and David inquired of the Lord. And the Lord answered, it is for Saul and for his bloody house, because he slew the Gibeonites. And the king called the Gibeonites and said unto them, now the Gibeonites were not of the children of Israel, but of the remnant of the Amorites. And the children of Israel had sworn unto them, And Saul sought to slay them in his zeal to the children of Israel and Judah. Wherefore David said unto the Gibeonites, What shall I do for you? And wherewith shall I make the atonement, that ye may bless the inheritance of the Lord? And the Gibeonites said unto him, We will have no silver nor gold of Saul, nor of his house, neither for us shalt thou kill any man in Israel. And he said, What ye shall say that I will do for you? And they answered the king, The man that consumed us, and that devised against us, that we should be destroyed from remaining in any of the coasts of Israel. Let seven men of his sons be delivered unto us, and we will hang them up unto the Lord in Gibeah of Saul, whom the Lord did choose, and the king said, I will give them. But the king spared Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, because of the Lord's oath that was between them, between David and Jonathan, the son of Saul.
Now, you see how serious God is with his oath? Because Saul, even though this is years later, you understand this is many years later, this is past the era of judges, then to where we have kings, but they broke the oath that they had with the Gibeonites that their forefathers had made. And because of that, Israel is experiencing famine 3 years in a row. And David goes before the Lord, Why is this? And the Lord said, Because Saul, my paraphrase, broke the covenant with the Gibeonites. In other words, you swore in my name, and that covenant's been broken. Now Israel's paying the consequence for breaking that covenant. And so David goes to the Gibeonites to find out how to rectify this problem. And they're honorable. You understand? They're not looking for monetary gain out of this. They just said, let the man who tried to make us extinct, seven descendants of his, then just turn them over and we kill them. And then that's going to rectify the problem. Okay? And that's what David did. And after the fact, it rained. The famine ended. Now, I said all that to show you that how important it is to watch what you say and watch what you get in agreement with, what you sign your name to, any covenant you make. God holds us accountable for our words. By our words, we're justified. By our words, we're condemned. Have you ever read it?
Yeah.
It's in your Bible, okay? Now, this should be a real warning to us not to make decisions frivolously, just spontaneously. But Lord, should I do this? And then wait till you get the mind of the Lord. I've had people to come to me and talk to me. I need to make a decision, and I don't know what to do. And I've got to make one, by tomorrow. I said, well, do you have peace? No. I said, well, call it off. Don't make a decision if you don't have peace. Don't you make a deal if you don't have the peace of God ruling in your heart. Because I'll promise you God will lead you in peace. Doesn't matter what the circumstances look like, but inside you, you'll have a confidence. This is right. This is right. And so I really wanted to camp down on this and put emphasis on how important it is to keep your word to people, especially when you enter into an agreement. In this society today, a contract doesn't mean a whole lot. I mean, you pay a lawyer enough money and you can get out of a contract. You follow me? And look at the divorce rate in marriages, and marriage is a covenant. But look how often that's broken. You know, so often the vows say, until death do us part, right? Yeah, well, they laugh at that one. No, we need to take these things serious. Mama used to tell me, Don't let your tongue tie a knot in 5 minutes you can't get out of in a lifetime. And there's a ton of truth to that. Watch what you say. Watch your agreements. Okay? Because these people are obligated to this covenant. And I'm going to show you how serious this is as we go along, as this unfolds.
Verse 22. And Joshua called for them, and he spoke unto them, saying, Wherefore have you beguiled us, saying, We are very far from you, when you dwell among us. Now therefore ye are cursed, and there shall none of you be freed from being bondmen, and hewers of wood, and drawers of water, for the house of my God. And they answered Joshua and said, Because it was certainly told thy servants, how that the Lord thy God commanded his servant Moses to give you all the land and to destroy all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Wherefore, we were sore afraid of our lives because of you and have done this thing.
Keep it.
And now, behold, we are in thy hand. As it seemeth good and right unto thee to do unto us, do. And so did he unto them, and delivered them out of the hand of the children of Israel, that they slew them not. And Joshua made them that day hewers of wood and drawers of water for the congregation, and for the altar of the Lord, even unto this day, and the place which he should choose.
Now you think about this, they don't resist. You understand? They're not resisting. You look at it this way. Cutting wood and carrying water sure does beat dying. Mm-hmm. And that's how they view this. And you look at, I use the word honorable, but in the way they dealt with David, and in the way here they're not resisting anything. They gave, we're your servants. All right, this is what's going to happen to you. Okay, we'll do that. They're not offering any resistance, you understand. Because their lives have been spared. Pretty amazing when you think about it. But here again, it just shows you the mercy of God. People, we talked about Rahab, how Rahab recognized God. Your God is the true God. We don't have a chance. And so she's just calling for mercy from God to spare her life and her families. And God honors that. You understand? Well, here, even though this wasn't right, God honored that. They recognized that they didn't have a chance against the God of Israel. And so what did they do? When they're submitting to Israel, they're submitting to the God of Israel. You understand? And so consequently, their lives were spared. Pretty incredible when you think about it. You see God's mercy even in the old covenant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. I had a conversation upstairs with a friend, and we were talking about, we were laughing, but that's so true, about being in covenant with the Lord. We are in covenant with Jesus Christ. And because of our covenant, we have so many blessings and so many benefits, one of which is health and healing. That we are covered, He has obligated Himself to His Word. God's Word does not return void. If He expected Joshua to uphold this covenant, don't you think He upholds His covenant with us? He absolutely does. And so I appreciate the fact that we stop for a minute to think about covenant and the importance of it. Our God is a covenant-keeping God.
He expects us to be a covenant-keeping people. If you think about this, a covenant's reciprocal. You look at Abraham and God. When God cuts covenant with Abraham, this is how this works. God says, and I'm paraphrasing, okay? As for my part, I will be God to you and protect you, provide for you. In other words, I'm going to be the God to you to take care of you. Now, your side of the covenant is I am to be the God that you worship and serve. You see that? I'll protect you. I'll provide you. You worship me. You serve me. Don't you get your eyes on all this idol worship and all that stuff. But I'm to be your God. But what happened? Israel constantly broke covenant with God, getting their eyes on fixed on idols and idol worship and all this type stuff. God's keeping his covenant. They're breaking the covenant. Now, under the new covenant, actually the covenant is cut in Jesus. God cutting a covenant with the Son of Man, Jesus. You understand? Jesus, the Son of Man. God cutting covenant with man. Like God cutting covenant with Abraham was cutting covenant with man. Okay? Now, everyone who accepts Jesus Christ as their personal Savior become one with Him according to John 17, that they may be one as we are one. And so, if we're one with Jesus, then we are joint heirs, right, with Jesus Christ. And so we get the benefits of the covenant, but here again, it's reciprocal. God is the God who looks out for our best interest, and we are a people who worship and serve God looking out for His best interest. That's how it's supposed to be. Not religious, not politics, but understanding that we serve a person. You know, we're in union with a person, not a system. And that person being Jesus Christ. And because we're one with Jesus, we're one with the Father. The Spirit of God lives in us, not just comes on us, He abides in us. We have a good covenant, a better covenant established upon better promises, is what the writer of Hebrews says, right? And so let's get a real good concept of how important a covenant is, and that both parties that enter into a covenant have responsibility. You with me?
Yeah.
Oftentimes when I get in a situation, I just ask the Lord, Lord, you show me what I'm supposed to do. And I'll do what I'm supposed to do, but I'm depending upon you to do what I can't do. God working with man. You understand? We naturally do what we can. He supernaturally empowers and to where we can do what we can't do naturally. You with me? Okay.
Very good. Chapter 10. Now it came to pass when Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, had heard how Joshua had taken Ai and had utterly destroyed it, as he had done to Jericho and her king, so he had done to Ai and her king, and how the inhabitants of Gibeon had made peace with Israel and were among them. But they feared greatly, because Gibeon was a great city, as one of the royal cities, and because it was greater than Ai, and all the men thereof were mighty. Wherefore, Adonizedek, king of Jerusalem, sent unto Hoham, king of Hebron, unto Piram, king of Jarmuth, and unto Japhia, king of Lachish, and unto Debir, king of Eglon, saying, Come up unto me, and help me, that we may smite Gibeon, for it hath made peace with Joshua, and with the children of Israel. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, the king of Jerusalem, the king of Hebron, the king of Jarmuth, the king of Lachish, the king of Eglon, gathered themselves together and went up, they and all their host, and encamped before Gibeon and made war against it.
Now, note this, that Adonizedek, I mean, he's actually forming a coalition to fight against other people in his own land, the inhabitants of the land, because the Gibeonites were a great city with mighty men. In other words, they had an excellent army.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so he talked these other kings into joining with him. They're not going against Israel. They're going against the Gibeonites. They're there. Their intent is to fight against and destroy the Gibeonites for making a league with the Israelites. Do you see that?
Yeah.
So, the men of Gibeah send word to Joshua about what's going on and help us. All right, they're in covenant. So they're obligated. And I'm obligated to stop because my time's up, right?
Okay.
So we'll stop here and take the break, okay?
Okay.